please be seated. This is a personal word for getting into the, before beginning the message. Just to appreciate the time that my family had away this week. I did a couple college tours with Mary Claire. And just an observation on weather at this time of the year. I packed, among other things, a heavy coat, a light coat, a t-shirt and short pants. And before it was all over, all were used in the court. And as you can see, by the, I should have worn a hat. See, I got a little bit of sun, too. But that's just this time of year and this place in the world and the seasonal piece. Enough of that. Finishes that. Imagine with me a young employee who makes a serious rookie mistake at work. And it costs the company money. And everyone expects the boss to fire him. However, when the boss calls him into the office, the boss man says, "You made a serious mistake, a serious one. And I remember when someone gave me a second chance when I had made a similar mistake so many years ago. And so I'm going to do the same for you." That young man walked out of the office stunned. That young man deserved punishment. That young man received mercy. Years later, he himself became a leader. And when someone under him made a mistake, he remembers that day. That is how mercy spreads. Someone receives it, and that person passes it onward. Jesus says that those are the people who are truly blessed. Mercy is what happens when people who have received grace refuse to become hard. The merciful are people who remember their own need for mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We're moving along in the Beatitudes through Lent, and this is number 5, if you're counting. The first 4 Beatitudes describe life that grows from need, acknowledging need, from a wake-up moment. They describe those who are poor in spirit and acknowledge that. It can be truly of a spiritual nature, but also one who acknowledges, "I don't have anything, Lord. You're all that I've got." Those who mourn losses in their lives, grieve over the brokenness of the world. There are the meek, or the powerless. Again, that's, we already covered that one, but there's a lot you can go with there. Those who have surrendered control, or those who acknowledge, "I have no control." Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who desire what is right. And again, so the Beatitudes are showing a divine notice of those on the edge, of those with a need. And God pays attention to that. And so we've seen each of these addressing that. And now, if you can imagine, these acknowledge that the soul has awakened. The first 4 are about acknowledging the needs. The next 4 are about living it out. The first 4 about receiving grace. The next 4, responding to it. The word in Greek for mercy does not simply mean pity. Now, there is something to be said for pity. This word, however, is much more forceful. It means about the ability to step inside another person's situation, to see with the eyes of that person, to feel with their heart. Feeling for someone is okay. It's all right. It can be very positive to feel sorry for someone, but mercy is more than that. It's all of that and more. It is a sympathetic understanding. Years ago, remember, first saw a movie on TV and then later read the book in high school, To Kill a Mockingbird. And I remember fourth grade, we won't mention the year, just say I was about fourth grade, but that quote at the end of the movie of understanding someone till you've walked a mile in that person's shoes. And then the Native American saying, whether it really is or just when it kind of got created, walking in someone's moccasins. It's still true. If it's something made up later or truly a Native American proverb, it's still truth to it. It's understanding it from that person's perspective. I would even say, even if you don't agree with that person, at least understanding how that person got from point A to point B. I remember with a friend of mine, that was a big bone of contention. I said, just because I understand how you got to a place doesn't mean I agree with you. But I do want to understand how you got from point A to point B. Now, he was like a winner-take-all in arguments. So you don't try to understand the other person. You just try to win. That was just one of our points. But anyway, I always say, I want to understand, how did you get, how do you see it? What is your story? That's something I try to do. It's that perspective that says, but for the grace of God, go I. It refuses to stand at a distance and judge. It asks, what must life look like from where that person stands? If anything is supposed to judging, it's about discerning. Again, I may not agree with where that person's saying, but I want to understand what led that person to that place. What were the circumstances that led that person in such a way? That kind of mercy requires humility and imagination. Now, mercy has many angles. It's one that we've just covered. It can also appear as, in this case, someone has wronged us, and we have the right, or at least the grounds, to retaliate, to punish, to hold a grudge, to give an award-winning tell-off speech to that individual. And when it's in the movies, not real life, but in the movies, it's actually somewhat rewarding to see when somebody gets exactly told what they needed to be told. But in this case, it's saying, I'm choosing not to do that. Mercy interrupts that cycle. It means saying, I will treat you with grace and not what you deserve. That does not mean pretending the wrong never happened. It means refusing to let resentment rule our hearts. It's a good reminder for me, because resentment actually rules quite frequently, but that's another story. Mercy moves in two directions. Mercy moves towards suffering and towards sin. It moves towards suffering in that it shows compassion. It moves towards sin in that it shows forgiveness. And that is how God's mercy works as well. Jesus touched the lepers. And Jesus healed the sick. And Jesus fed the hungry. And Jesus ate with the tax collectors. And Jesus forgave sinners. And said, go and sin no more. And both are acts of mercy. Jesus says, the merciful shall receive mercy. This is not a transaction. And it's not that we earn God's mercy. Instead, mercy reveals the kind of heart we have. People who have truly experienced God's mercy tend to show it to others. And those who refuse mercy often reveal that they have never fully understood God's grace. Remember in a conversation, someone shared very openly about, it's from a larger family, and they all grown up in church, and all these siblings were in church, some church, except for the youngest. And it's all those pews hurt me as a child. I ended up having to sit in those uncomfortable pews and ... Okay, went on, successful life. But was noticed that his adult children all seemed to have struggles. Like I just said, someone who never experienced grace has a hard time showing it to others. Very much, I perform highly in my profession, and I expect all of you to perform as well. Maybe that was the reason, maybe not. But that was one of the brothers' sympathetic understandings. He's never really understood what it means to receive grace and mercy. Mercy received becomes mercy given. Reflecting on this, thought of again a country song, one I have shared before, but it's called The Gift. I'm not going to quote it, but I will tell it, where it begins with this woman, her Mercedes has got a flat, it's cold, think snowy night or something, it's very bad weather, and everyone's just driving past her, and this young man stops and says, and she's even kind of nervous, said, I'm here to help you, my name's Joe, and he changes her tire, and she's like, well, thank you so much, and it's, can I pay you? He said, no, you don't owe me a thing, I've been there too, and someone's helped me out, just like I'm helping you, and if you really want to pay me back, here's what you do, don't let the gift of love end with you. Okay, I can still quote it. But anyway, he passes that on. So she's grateful. And then she goes on to a diner to kind of collect herself, just get a little snack, like a piece of pie and coffee. Pie and coffee can actually cure a lot of things, by the way. So afterwards, she has that. And noticing the sweet waitress, he was about 8 months pregnant and obviously pregnant. And so to pay for this, she gives her $100. The lady goes up to make change. She slips out. And on the receipt given there, the ticket just said, you don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone wants to help me out, like I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the gift of love end with you. And so the woman goes home, just thinking about it. This is another woman's story. But thinking about it, gets to bed. Her husband's already gone to sleep. And at the end she says, kind of whispers, she says, everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe. The man who changed the tire, that was his wife. Very touching the way it's done in the video. But I think of that gift and passing it on, of someone who's received mercy, giving it to others. Think about your own stories and people that you know. Who has been shown real mercy in life? Someone who has forgiven when they did not deserve to give, the one that was forgiven did not deserve it. Think of the one given a second chance. Over time, that experience can change them. And they become slow to judge and quick to forgive and more patient with weakness. And that is what Jesus is describing. The blessed life is not the life that never needs mercy. It is the life that has received mercy so deeply that it begins to overflow towards others. Mercy is what happens when people who have received grace, who have received mercy, refuse to become hard. The merciful are people who remember their own need for mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Thanks be to God. Amen.